Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy on December 10th of 2020. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk about some of the stuff we've been watching, some of which airs on Toonami.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, do you have any witty opening?
Nope.
Okay, neither did I. Good. Whew, that's a load off my mind. I was going to feel awkward if you had one. So, we'll begin with this stuff on Toonami. Sword Art Online, episode 89. So, let's see. What happens here? So remember how there were those people who were obviously going to actually be of some importance because you actually saw their faces and stuff when they entered the game that were under the bad guys, except they don't think they're the bad guys because they think that the other people have hacked into the thing, and it's all very weird and confusing. The thing is, it seems like they get won over, but then they aren't won over because the other guy shows up and is like, no, they're lying or whatever. Also, some characters who die who, were they supposed to be important characters? Like, I couldn't even remember. Were those people who, real-world people who joined with them, or were they people who lived in the thing? But, the thing, because I didn't know which group they were in or not, or whether they were important.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe that's still part of my fault, but, so they managed, Leafa shows up and is, like, hey, all that really awkward fan service scene did have a point. See? I brought this guy and a bunch of other people along as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's that, let's see. Then there's some other, then the guy who was from the Laughing Coffin or whatever, it's, I don't know, I'm trying to explain all this and I'm realizing I can't remember most of the backstory. He's crazy. That's we establish his villainous motivation is just, he's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Yeah, it's easy. Why is he being evil? He's crazy. You know, like...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's possible to just have a villain who's just insane, but I don't know, they need to have... Like, I'm trying to think, it worked in The Dark Knight. Why doesn't it work here? Maybe it's just...
This guy reminded me of that kid from Excel World.
Yeah, whose name I still can't remember. I only ever remembered him as Jerk Kid. Yeah, in some ways he was, except at least Jerk Kid had more of a method to his madness in that he kind of had some goals and stuff. I mean, I don't know, just being a crazy villain can be entertaining, but there usually has to be at least a sort of method to their madness, like the Joker had in The Dark Knight, where he was actually trying to sort of make a rhetorical point about Gotham and all the stuff he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't really have much else that I can think to say about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have much either.
Yeah, I wish I did have more, but it was just kind of, some stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
That I made, so then we move on to Fire Force episode 28. So the bad guys have made a bunch of those infernals appear, and, unfortunately a rather high amount of the episode is devoted to fighting them, and I'm like, they're just interchangeable mooks. I don't really care about them. The more interesting stuff is when Shinra and Arthur are fighting some of the bad guys. And, yeah, Shinra and that other guy are still fighting over, I can't remember her name, so I'm just gonna call her Kuniko. over her, and because she is not interested in either one of their sides, it, seems. And, and yeah, I like I said, I mean, I kind of skipped through it, but I actually did like the stuff involving the actual fighting against people. It was just everything else is just, hey, we're fighting interchangeable enemies. Yay.
Yeah.
It's not even like new enemies. It's just the same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it wasn't too bad of an episode.
Yeah, despite those, I did like this stuff. I still wish they would give Tamaki something to do other than just, like, just cause bizarre fan service.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff that was good was pretty decent. I kind of wish I had been paying a little more attention to some of the much more of the first season, so I actually understood better what was going, like who the villains are and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I get enough. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So we're zipping through stuff, I guess. Assassination Classroom, episode 13. So, a new sort of instructor gets assigned to the group to try to train them to, beat Koro Sensei. And he acts super nice at first, but then it turns out he's actually a psychopath who's all about causing fear and hitting the students and stuff to make them follow his instructions. But so then to try to make everyone like realize how strong he is, he gives Nagisa a knife with the idea of like, oh, well, once I beat him while he's got that, everyone will be really afraid of me. But then Nagisa actually uses the fact that he seems like the really weak and harmless one to actually get the upper hand and manages to win. So then no one takes him seriously, the bad guy seriously anymore. So he just leaves.
Yeah, was he actually a bad guy, or was he just a another instructor they brought in, you know?
Well, he's gone after, like, he leaves after this, so.
Okay. Yeah, I actually liked this new guy, and I thought he was a pretty interesting character. A lot better than Kuro Sensei, who's like a one note character, because all he ever is I'm at Mach 20. And this guy was pretty interesting, but I guess the episode was okay, but I still don't understand. I think they're waiting too long to explain things to me, because it's like I know there's something bigger to this whole thing. I know there's, for some reason, Koro Sensei is going to be considered like the hero, but we're still waiting on that revelation, and it feels like it's taking forever for us to get there. So that's where I'm at with this series.
I remember reading these chapters in the manga, and I really liked it, and I didn't really like it when I watched it in the anime, because I feel like it worked, at least for me, better in the manga, because the pacing was a little slower. With the anime, it's just like, okay, this guy shows up. He seems super nice. Oh, no, wait, he's actually really mean and stuff. Oh, well, now he's gone. It was all covered in just one episode. Whereas the manga, I feel, paced it a bit better. So there was, because this was four chapters in the manga. And I feel like maybe it wasn't a matter of pacing, it was just a matter of the media working better, but I feel like just the build up and the way things unfolded worked better in that. Whereas here it just felt like it all happened very quickly and left me wondering, well, oh, gee, what was the point of that then? I feel like it almost might have been better if they had, even if it had taken the exact same amount of time, like in terms of minutes, if they had had the first half of this be like the second half of one episode, and then the other part of this be the beginning of being the first half of the next episode.
And mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, so that there would be a little more time to sort of absorb some of the stuff and wonder about what's going to happen rather than introducing and resolving it all in the same episode.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay. All right, so that's the Toonami stuff. So we'll move on to, well, I mean, I guess it did air on Toonami in the past. Ghost in the Shell, episode 37. So they're conducting some, like, test stuff for potential recruits for Section 9. Then the Major just kind of randomly goes into this store that where this person, like, stores people's memories or whatever. And we get a very long, like about half of the episode, really, of the woman there just telling this story of these two kids. And,
yeah.
and then at the end, it's, this like boy and this girl, and about how, you know, what the boy had some accident or something, so that he was in bad shape, so he was making cranes, and how they wanted to give him a new prosthetic body, but he didn't want to. But then there's a girl, and she had one, except then she was it. Why am I even explaining this? It wasn't that interesting. It tries to sort of make it a bit more relevant by stating that the girl in the story was the Major. So it at least tied it back into the plot, sort of. But it's so long is the problem. The story. If the story itself was actually okay, but if they had told me maybe half the time, I wouldn't have minded it so much. But it's annoying because the first half of the episode or so, I was interested in where it was going, and then it's just this lengthy, almost info dump about it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say, actually, I was not expecting it to be the Major. I assumed that it was going to have some relevance to, like, main character, but I was thinking that it was going to turn out the kid was Bato or something. The boy was Bato. I mean, if for all we know, it could still be, because the old woman says that the boy went into the army or something. Wasn't Bato in the army? I feel like I remember that being part of his backstory. Or maybe I'm just over looking into that too much. I'd have to double check some of his backstory stuff. I assume we're going to find out who this boy was at some point this season, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah,
hopefully not, though. So, hopefully we don't come back to this whole boring story, because this was, like, probably the worst episode of this season, because it was just really boring, and I lost interest, like, halfway through, and I was like, man, there's still half an episode to go. It was really boring.
Yeah, it was definitely a very slow episode. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking this is like exposition, except for until the end, as far as we know, it's just about a bunch of, like, these two random kids. And even the reveal doesn't make it feel like it was worth it to go through all of that. Again, this wasn't a bad, like, the story she tells her, it was interesting. The problem was it was too long. Like, the most interesting story, if you pad it out too much, becomes boring. Like,
Yeah.
imagine, I don't know, what's a, like, imagine a good like a really fun movie or something, or just like even an episode or a show or something. Now double it in length, and instead of, and have someone describing everything that's happening over the whole, like, time thing. It's, think of it as the second part of the Chimera Ant arc. Okay. Well, we got that. Then we got Yashahime episode 10. So there's these two brothers who are attached to each other, because their race does that, and the way it works is that one of the brothers in these sort of things, is supposed to kill the other to survive. So, but they haven't been able to kill each other, so they're just fighting and causing a bunch of havoc. But then they, once they realize the rainbow pearls are, like, the girls have them, they, okay, how they possess the girls somehow to make them fight and then take the pearls out. Can like they just do that? If they can just do that, why don't we see this sort of possession more frequently? It seemed like that was really easy.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
So they take that and they're trying to give it to their master, but that person is like, well, actually, I'm just going to kill you now for no real reason, really. And so then everyone ends up fighting against that person, and then both of the brothers die any way. And Moraha is annoyed because their bodies turn to ashes, so they can't get any reward for it, thus making really this entire episode feel pretty pointless.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, it felt like a total waste of time. And we're still wondering about where all of the main characters are, and the series continues to toy with us by not telling us anything and just making it like, oh maybe Towa and Setsuna are a little closer to each other now. And that's pretty much all that was accomplished by this episode. It
Yeah.
almost felt like filler. I mean, it wasn't filler, but it felt like filler, you know?
Yeah. It's also, I feel like I had to mention this. So a bunch, so what happened before the commercial break, there's like, the brothers, and they're talking to their sort of ruler person, and they, there's a conversation there. It goes to commercial, comes back, and then it repeats that conversation. Like, now I know a lot of times show that's not it's not uncommon for shows to have a character say something, go to commercial, come back, and then we see that again. But they repeated about half a minute when it came back from commercial.
I noticed the same thing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's kind of annoying when when shows do that. In fact, I remember there's this joke, I think I mentioned this before, but on this episode of Bobobo, there's this part where he says, well, it's over, I'm about to pull out the secret weapon. Then it goes back to commercial, comes back, goes, well, it's over, I'm about to pull out the secret weapon. And then this other person said, you just said that. Who proofreads your scripts? But yeah, it was especially bad here just for how long it repeated it.
You once noted that on an episode of Naruto. Remember that? They did something really like this on a episode of Naruto. It was quite some time ago, but it was like exactly like this.
Yeah. Well, I know I mentioned that Bobobo joke to you at some point before, so it must have been some. So that probably was when it was. But yeah, it's especially, like I said, I bring it up because it's not just that it repeated, it's just that it repeated half a minute or so, which may not seem like that much when I say half a minute, but well, but when you watch it, you just notice, whoa, they're really repeating all of this.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's it, because we're not doing Attack on Titan now. We're leaving that spot sort of blank for now, because ReZero is coming back in about a month, and we'll just pick up on that when it comes back.
Right.
So, I guess that's our anime discussion stuff. So when we give the top three, well, honestly, a lot of this week was kind of underwhelming, really. For first, I would put Fire Force, then Assassination Classroom, and then those two are easy because they're the two episodes that I actually like to some degree. And then for third, I would put, I guess Yashahime.
Yeah, first place I'm going to put Sword Art Online. Second place will be Fire Force, and third place will be Assassination Classroom. Hmm. So that's pretty much where I'm going with that.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, swap out Yashahime for Assassination Class. Sword Art Online. That's what I'm putting for my. That's what I think I should put for my third. Now that okay. I think about it, I was like trying to figure out what to put there, but yeah. Okay. So that's been our anime discussion for this week. You can find our previous episodes at tsunamitherapy.podbean.com. And yeah, so now we'll be discussing some of the non-anime stuff for anyone who's really only here just for that. Okay, so we've got The Amazing Race, episode 12 of season 32. Also known as the episode where basically nothing that happened in the first half of it really mattered. Because it all came down to that stupid challenge where they had to recognize music they heard throughout the race and then remember what countries they were in and put them in the order that they listened to them in. And I was just like, did they really expect the people to remember this?
Yeah, yeah, well, we knew that one song, the first song.
Yeah, Deo was easy.
Yeah.
The rest, not so much. Of course, they also we also had a major case of RTFC read the freaking clue in that they weren't doing any in the right order. Honestly, although to be fair, at least on this one, I mean, they should have read it, but the clue really did, I mean, it was a counterintuitive that they had to do it in the order they went to those countries rather than the order they heard the songs played. Why not just have the songs played in the order you actually heard them to save? Because this was a very difficult challenge already.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
No, sorry, you go.
Well, I can speak for thousands of fans when I can tell you that this was a really dull episode because of the fact that they just cheated and helped each other out. Like this alliance thing, I know it works in Survivor, but it doesn't work here in The Amazing Race, because The Amazing Race is supposed to be a race. It isn't supposed to be, okay, let's vote out one of the teams. That isn't the concept of the show. And lots and lots of people hate this season because of it. And I don't know. I haven't seen enough seasons to know how bad of a season it is, but most people are saying this is the worst season ever. So, Yeah, you can go with that. I mean, last season there weren't really that much of this Alliance crap, and it was a very entertaining season. So, I just hate this Alliance thing. And some people have suggested that they start giving penalties to teams who help out each other, and that would stop this Alliance thing. So, because whenever you have these alliances, then it becomes really predictable who's going home. And it was. I saw this coming a long, long time ago, who was going to be out and who was going to stay. And I was right, which I usually am not right whenever I watch Survivor, because Survivor's a lot more interesting. But this season has been not that great.
Well, I don't necessarily have a problem with teams helping each other, even having sort of an alliance. There have been a bunch of seasons I haven't seen, but from what I've seen before, this is a first season to really have this kind of an alliance. Because in past seasons, there would be teams who would be sort of in a semi-alliance. You know, they'd help someone and the other would be like, yeah, we should be helping them, that sort of stuff. But it wasn't as big as this one. It didn't have as big of an effect. My problem is not really even the alliance. It's the way that some of the things are let's suppose there hadn't been an alliance going into it. With this challenge, the smartest thing to do would be alliance, pre-existing alliance or not, get two other teams, put your heads together. Everyone, though you win it and you leave the other team in the dust. That's just the smartest strategy for this challenge, because it's something that's just so impossible to be able to do on your own. You can only think, okay, we know these ones, let's figure out all the combinations and take turns trying them out. The task is practically set up to encourage that. So maybe it makes me wonder if this might have happened even without the that sort of thing, without that sort of alliance idea going in to it. I just think it was a really, I don't think this was a good challenge at all. It relies too up until that point, it was just kind of tedious to watch, because it's just teams trying over and over and not getting any of the stuff. I kind of wonder if maybe it would have been better if the person had at least told them how many they had correct. They wouldn't tell them which ones were correct, but they just said, you have this many correct. And then they could have
maybe... Yeah, my dad thought of that too, that if they would have said, okay, you have three correct, then that would have made it a lot more interesting than it was. It just felt like they were just trying random things until they teamed up. And then once they teamed up, it was like, okay, now we know who's advancing and who isn't. And it didn't really matter. It was just random, you know. When you have that many combinations, and someone suggested that they should have had a different combination for each team, which I thought that was a pretty good idea, because they had a different one for each team, then they couldn't have cheated. That would have actually made that more fun to watch. This was just terrible to watch.
Well, I don't. The problem is, if you give them different ones, then it brings up the question of, well, it brings up the accusation that one team just got a simpler one than the other. So I kind of think you have to give them all the same one. I just think that because it was just so hard, because I assume they weren't ever told, hey, pay attention to the music, there may be a quiz at the end of the race about it, because no one would have been able to no one would have really been paying attention to that. So that's my problem. It wasn't said it wasn't the alliance or anything like that. It was, I just thought, even before they hit upon that idea, I thought it was kind of boring. I mean, it, honestly, maybe the alliance thing was good because it at least made it a little more interesting than people just, you know, trying over and over an event until they eventually managed to, like, you know, pull it out. I think they just, the problem is they shouldn't be, sorry, did you say something?
Nope.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said, okay. I mean, yeah, they could, I have been seeing a bunch, I did look and saw a lot of people complaining about, that. So I don't know what they might do something in the future, maybe like ban help from team to team. I'm not sure if I necessarily like that because, like I said, this is season, I said it and now I forgot, 32. I did not see every previous season. I'll be honest. I saw maybe half of them, but I don't remember this sort of thing happening like this before. There were times where teams actually did work together to solve some things. There's this one time where I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something to they had to like get these letters. You like had to like listen to these phones and they would give you letters and then you would have to unscramble them or something. And some of the teams were kind of working together because they just couldn't figure it out. So one of them, so he got a little help and he managed to solve it. And he's like thinking, okay, what should I, you know, and he's like, well, I don't want to completely screw them over, but I don't want to just give them the answer. He says, well, here's the first letter. And then just left, and the other guy was super angry and then wasn't able to actually solve it.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, like, he couldn't solve it. He had to take the penalty.
I thought it was a 4-hour penalty. This episode, it was a 2-hour penalty.
Yeah, I noticed that. I thought it was... Did no one gave up on a thing before this? So I was wondering, did they reduce it to 2 hours for this season or what? My question was, what I was a little surprised about was that, so all the teams get there and, you know, they have like, you know, the discussion on the mat and stuff while the other, while the NFL players who lost, you know, just had to sit around there for 2 hours. I was just surprised, you know, Phil didn't just go over to them or something. Or have someone go over to them and saying, hey, you don't have to, like, wait anymore. You can just go to the mat. Because having to wait that long just to, you know, get eliminated anyway.
Yeah, well, I was wondering if a team would have been better off. We never saw how long it took for this challenge. So what if a team had gotten here and immediately said, we're taking the 2-hour penalty? Would they have won the challenge? You know, probably not, because the other three would have worked together and solved it. But I just, that was just something I was wondering, like, man, maybe you would have been better off just taking the penalty from the very beginning.
Yeah, I do wish they gave us more information about how long they spend on some of these things so I could evaluate something like that. But the problem is, if you take that penalty and then the other teams know you did that, that will instantly, there is no reason for them to not immediately start working together if you do that. That would instantly incentivize the other three to work together. One of them, you know, was talking to Phil and he was like, complaining about it, saying he didn't like, and said he was like, he regretted going on the race at all. And I was like, oh, wow, that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah, I'm surprised because most of the time, you know, it's always like, this was the most amazing experience of my life and all that. And he was like, it was like, well, then why did you cast him on the show anyway? If you know, he didn't even enjoy it, that was just a poor casting decision, you know?
He did. I should be fair and say, because I was looking, when I was looking at some stuff to see people's reactions were, I actually saw that he did on Twitter. Someone asked him, like, do you really regret it? And he said, oh, I don't regret it, but I'm never doing it again. So maybe that was a bit of a heat of the moment thing, and he calmed down about it later. But yeah, it was just on the whole, people focus on the Alliance and complain about that. I just think it was a badly designed challenge. In fact, I would say the leg itself wasn't very good because, so they had, what was it, 4 challenges they had to complete? But because the last one was so astoundingly hard, the first 3 didn't really matter.
Like Family Feud, that's what it was like. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Family Feud, but like, okay, you have the first 3 rounds, and then you have a round that's worth triple points. So the final round, as long as you win the final round, the worst you can do is have a sudden death for the win. And that's only if you lost all the previous rounds. So pretty much it always comes down to the triple points round. So yeah, I definitely see a problem with that. Like, I don't know how you're supposed to figure out those songs from a band, from, you know, a rock band playing them, whenever they didn't sound anything like that. That was just a very poorly made challenge.
Yeah, it definitely should. Yeah, I just, that's what comes down to it. I think it's one of the least interesting challenges because, like, there's not even anything to really get into it. It's just they get it right or they get it wrong. It's not even, like, you look back at that one where they did the sort of movie set thing and they had to count the number of spears and all that stuff. At least there you could kind of look at that and see how they were doing and try to figure things out yourself. Here they basically tell you the answer. To the viewer, I mean. So yeah, I have not disliked the season as some people do. In fact, I was enjoying it a decent amount until this episode where it just kind of suddenly hit me some of the problems with the season. But really, it mostly was just this episode. I just think it was a boring, uninteresting task, and even if not for the Alliance stuff, it wouldn't have been interesting. I think that
I lost interest whenever it became clear that the Alliance was going to dominate, which was like a month or so ago. So I've been being in interest of this season every week because it's like, okay, we know what's going to happen. It just, you know, maybe someone will come and 5th instead of 6th or 4th instead of 5th, but that's pretty much it, you know?
Yeah, I think I don't know if I necessarily am in favor of, like, you know, not letting people help teams help each other, but I do think that there were a lot of challenges that did very much reward that sort of thing this season. I mean, this was being the most obvious, but there were other things. If they want to discourage that, I think they should try. They would have to. They should try to focus more on the stuff that you can't just copy off of someone else to complete.
Yeah. Well, if the internet reacts in is any sign, then the ratings might go down. But I also think it's kind of like Survivor, that whenever Survivor people complain about twists, all they do is, instead of getting rid of the twist. They keep the twist and add even more twist. So my prediction is that Amazing Race, since it's CBS, it's going to encourage alliances next season instead of dissuading them. And next season we'll have even more alliance type of things than this one did. Like last season, I loved last season, even though I wasn't like a fan of who won or anything. In fact, like the people who won, like the final three, I didn't like the final three groups, but it was such a fun season because it was a race. And that's what I thought the show was, a race, not a vote out people thing. And that's what this season became, vote out who you don't like. And maybe the final episode will be interesting, or maybe they'll come up with yet another alliance and get it down to two. And then, you know, I don't know. I just think this has been a disappointing season.
One thing that might be interesting to do, and maybe this would be, well, so there's this one season they did, and I can't remember if they ever repeated this in another season. The fact they, I don't think they did, maybe is an indication that people didn't like it, but they didn't have the people coming ahead of time in teams. They just had a bunch of different people, and then there was, like, they had a, how many teams are there in each season? Like 11 or something? Or not, or I can't remember how many, but whatever amount. They just had twice that many people, and then the people would, and then they had like some brief sort of task thing at the beginning, and then and then people actually picked their partners for the rest of the race. Like you, like the person who got first place in whatever that was, you know, said, okay, I want this person, I'll pick them. Then the person who got second would pick someone, and then we'd kind of go on like that, and then everyone would have their teams and stuff. And I actually thought
was that how the team fun got put together?
They were on it last season. They got put together in a previous season, and then they just, I guess they stayed really good friends, and then they came back for another season, in one where the people mm-hmm. were actually, you know, prearranged. But the fact they didn't do that again maybe is an indication people didn't like it. But I was just wondering, what if you did that and then midway through you made all the teams switch? That it seems like that would like destroy all the that doing that sort of thing, like even once, would suddenly stop all the alliance, or maybe it wouldn't, because people would then just choose people that were part of their alliance to be their partners. So I guess that would still that could still keep it going.
Yeah, I think if you're going to allow alliances, then at least in these, you need to have more challenges like that. I don't know. There's challenges that you can do that you can't help anyone else on. And that's pretty much what they need to do if they want alliances. They've got to do something, because if you have this many fans angry over it, that's not a good sign, especially in an era where TV ratings are cratering. TV ratings have gone through the floor in the last 10 years, and you got to do whatever you can to keep afloat, because otherwise the only thing you're going to have is live sports, and that's it.
Yeah, I wonder especially, I mean, they'll have time to think about it. The Amazing Race isn't going to be coming back anytime soon. Because they've, even if they manage to get things under more control with COVID, it'll still, like the international format of the show, it just makes it... It will, I can't imagine them doing this sort of thing for at least 2 years. They might be able to do it earlier if they decide to do what they did in a previous season and just have it be in the U.S. But that was one of, that was like the least popular season of the show. So, though to be fair, it might have. That was the one, I think it's that was the one where they had to be the family edition. And that the family part might have been what wasn't very popular. But then again, being just in the U.S. might have also been one. So I'm sure they've had discussions about these things. But like I said, if they want to do it before 2 years are over, I think they just have to, they would have to keep it in the U.S. And even that would be a while before you could do that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, I don't see anything changing for an entire year with anything. Now, looking at the ratings, they did not move from week to week. They stayed at 0.7, which is just unthinkable that 0.7 is considered good. that's hilarious. I mean, ratings are that low that you get a green, you get a somewhat green thing for 0.7. You have a 1.0, that's like dark green.
I wonder how. Because that's how many people are watching it on TV, but they still like, they put it on their website and stuff. That's how I watched two of the episodes, because I forgot to watch them when they aired, which makes me like wonder, well, are a lot of people watching it that way? Because those are numbers that are never given to us. We don't ever get to see those like we get to see ratings.
You know what? What TV by the numbers would say, fan excuse bingo.
I'm not just talking about The Amazing Race, though. I'm talking about all shows.
Yeah. I read somewhere that Nielsen plans on ushering in an entirely different system by the year 2024. So, yeah.
Okay. So that was, I was not expecting us to talk that much about the episode. Okay. So, now we've got, so there's The Amazing Race. Now time for Star Trek, The Next Generation, Episode 4, Code of Honor. Now, So basically, they need to get a vaccine from this planet because it can't be replicated or made anywhere else. Vaccine. Topical. but then the guy who has it decides to just to kidnap Tasha Yar and then to skip through the stuff that they need to put through. She ends up... So then he's like, oh yeah, well, this was just like, I don't know, a show thing, but I still like her and wouldn't mind marrying her. But then the guy's wife gets upset and they end up in this death match against each other. But then so Yar manages to win and the person dies, but then they get brought back, and that apparent, and that makes it so that the guy, so here's the weird thing, so her dying dissolves their marriage. And then she comes back, and they're no longer married. Okay, but her dying is supposed to give all the land and stuff she had to her husband, but then that comes back to her? There's like a resurrection clause for one, but not the other? But the important thing is everything gets resolved somehow, and they get the vaccine, and they go on. Like I said, I just summarize these things quick. So this episode has a bit of a reputation. Did you know about that going in, or even now?
No, I didn't. I didn't know about it going in. I do now, though, because I looked it up. After I watched it, I was like, "Man, that was an interesting episode for certain reasons, and I was like, I looked it up, and then I saw it was ranked the number two worst Star Trek episode of all time, behind only These Are the Voyages, mm-hmm. which I hear was like the end of Enterprise, where they, instead of allowing them to have a real finale, they just like made it all on the holodeck of Star Trek The Next Generation, which was really weird.
And the weird, and also, well, apparently, I didn't see the last episode of Enterprise, but another thing people point out is weird is that it's supposed, them, Riker and Troy, like, doing this stuff on the holodeck, you know, recreation, this thing occur supposedly occurred during an actual episode of The Next Generation, like one I think it was from season six or something. It was later on, and people point out how it doesn't really make sense to set it there. Like, there's stuff that doesn't make sense, and also they don't even look like they did back in that episode. Like,
I saw a video on it.
Yeah. Riker, you know, Riker's close enough that you can kind of pass it, but Troy's not even wearing the same color uniform, and her hairstyle is different. But
Yeah. That I saw a video on it explaining why that episode was so bad, and now I know why it's that episode has such a horrible reputation, but this one has a terrible reputation for a different reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I assume you're referring to the fact that they made that casting. Well, actually, there's a lot of things that you can say for that gave this a bad reputation. But I'm guessing what you're referring to is the fact that that the director for this episode decided to make every one of the aliens black.
Yeah,
that was, which I want to just mention, you probably discover this when you're reading the thing, but that was not called for in the script at all. That was just his decision, and he actually got fired midway through the episode. I don't know if it was for that or the fact that he was supposedly not treating like the actors well, but that was what caused that. So so that was I have to say, so the thing is, I went into this episode knowing all like the criticisms of it, so that didn't actually bother me that much, maybe because I was expecting it, so like I kind of like knew, okay, this wasn't in the script, it was just the director's fault. And of course, it doesn't help that not only do they do that, they like they have them act stereotypically African also.
Right. Yeah, it's very stereotypical.
Yeah. Honestly, though, my biggest problem with the episode is that it was just boring.
I just thought it was so ridiculous. Like, okay, we're having an argument over, you know, who likes this man the most. So now we got to have a battle to the death. And you have to... And the acting was so terrible in the fight. The acting that was embarrassing. And it was like, I was like sitting there thinking, I used to think this show had like some of the best acting, and here early on, it's got some of the worst acting. And I was just like, this is really lousy.
Yeah, the core. Not necessarily, I wouldn't really call it acting because it was a fight. It was really more the choreography there. But yeah, it was pretty bad. It was a very dull fight. It was, there wasn't like even any like real good or like action stuff. I don't know if it was like they just didn't have the budget to be able to do it better. But in that case, well, maybe don't do that don't like have the fight like that at all. But yeah, that was, it's just, I was bored through so much of it because it just, it's tedious. So much of it, it's like, oh, she's gone. Well, let's just spend a bunch of time talking and trying to do some stuff. It's just overly long. This is one of those episodes where, like, it might have been, well, it wouldn't have been, at least it would have been less tedious if they had, I don't know, included some kind of a subplot for some of it. And then you could say, okay, now we don't have to do as much stuff for the main plot and could maybe pace it a little better. Like, you could have done something with Worf. Worf isn't even in this episode.
Nope, it's one of only two episodes he wasn't in.
Okay, so I want to actually, there were some notes I made about some especially, we've kind of covered the big stuff, but I really right. did like a few, there were a few parts that were especially weird. So I wrote this down because I had to get this word for word. So when they're going in, you know, when they're go in like the sort of elevator and they're preparing to meet with the people, this is the conversation. Picard says, "This should be an interesting experience." Riker said, "Agreed. Not only are they closely humanoid, but their history has remarkable similarities to ours." Troy says, "A highly structured society, and they're exceedingly proud." And I'm just thinking, are you playing a game of let's tell each other things we already know? It's really clumsy exposition.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and whenever, you know, you find out the whole race thing, it's like, oh, man, that is, I don't know how this got the air, you know. I mean, you would have thought, like, they would have pulled this episode. Maybe it is still pulled from syndication, I don't know. I wonder, like the Seinfeld has that banned episode. Well, it used to be banned. It's not banned anymore. But they had the Puerto Rican Day episode that got banned because of stuff. And the most interesting one I found was, I just have to bring this up, is this old cartoon called Tailspin. And like the final episode was like about like something with a bomb and a terrorist plot, and like it got banned like and never seen again. So that was pretty funny. And like after 9/11, it got banned and was like never seen again.
Huh, I didn't know about that one. I did remember the cartoon series Bonkers. I don't know if you ever saw it. It was on Disney also. So basically, it's about like this sort of like two this one like sort of guy, you know, in a world of tunes and stuff. It was kind of inspired by Roger Rabbit. He becomes this sort of police officer, and a bunch of the episodes he's like the partner of this guy named Lucky, and then another one, and then a bunch of the others he's with this woman named Miranda. Originally it was supposed to be him and Miranda, but like the network didn't really like them, so they had a bunch of the other episodes with the other character, which from what I remember were actually the better ones, the ones with Lucky. But but then they aired them in the opposite order and had an episode that kind of explained like the difference. They had one, you know, where he switches partners, except that was one that involved some sort of terrorist plot, so that got pulled from syndication. Let's see what other things. This was something I did review a look at a few like thoughts that some people like made for the episode after watching it. I like this one. What someone observed, it's the one where the scene where Tosh is telling Yarina, because it makes perfect sense to have, you know, a character that focuses on Tasha Yar to have the other character named Yarina. Where she, like, says, oh, like, Starfleet security has the most rigorous training, and they're all really amazing. And as someone was saying, yeah, seeing how good security is in a lot of episodes, I don't think that's true. I mean, there's an episode where they get taken out by an unarmed Ferengi. So yeah, this was a.
And isn't there? Isn't there an episode where the Borg capture Picard and make him one of them?
Yeah, but that one made a little more sense from what I remember.
I'm joking. I just had to make that joke.
Yeah, this was just not a very good episode. I do want to talk about the best part of the episode, and this is the best part. Was that bit with where Data is trying to like tell a joke to Geordi and it's really dumb and stuff. I said kiddly diddle on. Yeah. That scene was funny, but I'm not sure if it was funny for the reasons it was supposed to be funny.
I thought it was pretty funny too, but it was like, just because it was like so ridiculous, you know?
Although I will say, we did have an actually good gag where, so they have that in like, you know, and Data says something about it, like, you know, I've tried 662 Earth jokes and none of them have worked. So then there's a part where Picard, you know, they beam down and Picard is telling Data what's going on. And Picard and Data says, is this Earth joke 663? and I was just like, yes, this. That is how someone almost should react to the situation of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, even those parts were the kind of thing that in a normal episode you would just be, yeah, that was kind of weak. And here, they're the best part. just a tedious episode with a kind of dumb, like conflict with a contrived resolution, and then some very unfortunate racism on top of that.
Not much good to say about this episode, and the only good thing you can really say is that the show didn't get canceled at this point.
Let's see. I feel like there was one last thing I wanted to mention. Okay. Oh, right. This was hilarious. So Picard is having trouble figuring out like how they can get out of the situation. And Troy says, well, I'm here to help. And Picard says, well, okay. So what's a way to get out of this situation? He says, with the vaccine, there is none. And I'm just thinking, oh, well, thanks. You said you would try to help. And then you're like, nope, I got nothing.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry. I am the king of having all these scattered thoughts. But something I just realized. So they're doing all this because they need a vaccine because of this really big plague going on this planet. Again, topical. But I was just thinking, how does this necessarily make that much sense? Because this is a vaccine. Now, the way you make a vaccine, because you're like, okay, there's this illness. The vaccine gives you antibodies to the illness because it essentially makes the body think that it's the illness. And then, you know, it fights against it. And it's like, all right, now we got antibodies against the actual illness. Actually, the original... Fun fact, the term vaccine comes from, like, vacus, the Latin word for cow, because the first vaccine was against smallpox because someone discovered that if someone got cowpox, which was a much less dangerous disease, they would have a much lower chance of, they would have resistance to smallpox. So the idea was, well, okay, give people the much, much less dangerous thing of cowpox, and then they'll be protected from the way, way more dangerous smallpox. So, but that all, like, but my point is, normally when it comes to vaccine stuff, it, you have to like develop it against that illness. So how is it that this other planet entirely has a vaccine for something on a different planet? If it was some sort of miracle treatment, it would make more sense. But I don't get how, but it seems weird that, because they always call it a vaccine over and over, when that seems the less plausible of the two.
Yeah. Yeah, it just felt kind of forced, you know?
Yeah, and then it can't be replicated because quantum. Okay, so that, so I don't, okay, so I, this time I actually am out of random comments to make about the episode. You have anything else you wanted to say?
Nope, just ready for the rating.
Okay, so
what we're gonna rate.
This is another one where it's a little tricky for me because, you know, it's one of those things where I'm kind of toying between two different ratings. I think ultimately I'm going to, this might actually some, I think I dislike this episode less than some people do because I kind of went into it knowing what I was getting into. So I'm going to give this a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a 0 out of 10.
Ooh.
I mean, if it's ranked the second worst episode of all time, that, then, yeah, I think this needs to get a 0. It's, I'm sure, I mean, I know the show is better than this, so, yeah, it's just not a good episode for many reasons, and that is one of them.
Yeah, I do, like I said, when I've been thinking, I feel like the episode deserves less than what I gave it, but I just, when I watched it, I disliked it, but maybe just because I already knew so much about this episode's reputation going into it, that I was just kind of prepared for everything, and as a result, the biggest crime it did to me was just boredom.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be interested in seeing whether I end up liking this one more or less than the Clip Show episode. I saw one person, like, they said, oh, this is worse than the Clip Show because at least that had clips from good episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, wait, the scale, since you gave it a 0, does that mean the scale can go down to 0 then?
Yeah, okay. It can go from 0 to 10.
Okay, in that case, I want to drop my rating a little because I was thinking it was 1 to 10. I'm going to drop it down to, can we give like point ratings, like 0.5 or?
If you want, I'm trying to not have those because
it was
too complicated for me.
Fair. I'll round down. I'll drop it down to 2. I was thinking this is like 1 to 10, but if we're starting at 0, then I feel more comfortable giving it a 2.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I did the right thing. Okay. All right. So well, at least now we're past what's considered, well, actually, This one, like, what you mentioned, how the one convention, like a big Star Trek convention, did vote its second worst. I have seen other people say that there are other episodes, like even this season, that at least they personally think are worse. So we'll see. We'll see how some of them come along. I did tell you that this season was mostly front loaded with the worst episodes.
That's kind of good.
Well, not necessarily, because it means that we have to get through all the bad stuff first.
Yeah. It's just once we're through them, then things will get better. Hopefully. I can see. And then we forgot to mention like the entirely pointless Wesley part of this episode.
Oh, right. Like,
it was like totally pointless why he was in this episode.
Yeah, especially because from what I saw someone in this review that they mentioned it. So the whole thing about here is that Wesley is not allowed on the bridge, but Picard's like, well, okay, you can be on the bridge, and he helps out, and then Picard's like, well, maybe you'll get a chance later on. But then in a later episode, everything is back to the way it was before, with Wesley not being allowed on the bridge and Picard not, you know, thinking he should be. So not only was it pointless, if I remember the things correctly, it actually contradicts a later episode. Okay, well, we'll be back with another episode next week. Will it be better? Will it be worse? Well, we'll find out.
Yep.
So, I guess that's it. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye.